My next guest is on the line. You know her. She is Miri Eisen, retired Colonel Miri Eisen, a senior fellow at the Rechman University and a former media advisor to the Prime Minister of Israel. Miri, as always, thank you so much for talking to us on 101.9 Chai FM.
Thank you for inviting me again.
Miri, the news has been full of the incursion into Gaza City by the IDF. I'm wondering to what extent this means that the official war aims have changed, in that I'm wondering whether returning the hostages live is no longer a bigger priority as beating Hamas. What is your view on that?
Simon, we want both. And I think that for all of us, we want both. And I need the 48 back, the hopefully 20 alive back. The question here is, how do you get them back? And I think that what the IDF is doing, and this is because of the government policy, is the IDF now is attacking Hamas's terror army. It's attacking their capabilities. It's attacking that whole terror apparatus that they're doing. And the idea is to pressure Hamas and get back the hostages. I have to say that there are other opinions, including my own, that think that I would rather try to get the hostages back through an exchange, through negotiations, not because I want to negotiate with Hamas, the terror army. That's exactly the problem. But because of that, right now, when I look at this, it is about bringing back the hostages. It is about bringing them back alive. I think that the better way to bring them back alive would be to go through negotiations, as difficult as they would be.
It seems like the head of the IDF agrees with you, having been reported as saying to Benjamin Netanyahu, take the deal.
On the other hand, and I'm saying this really in that sense that I don't know, neither does the chief of staff. And at the end, you have the officials, those ones who, at the end, this is on their head. They're making a decision and they're stating that they think that the better way to get them back, because they have stated in the aims of this operation, is getting back the hostages. And I know they haven't said 20 alive and 28 dead. I'm not going to go down that path. They want the hostages back as well. I have, in the last few days, been more disturbed, not necessarily by what the prime minister says, Simon, but by what some of the other ministers in the Israeli cabinet, in the Israeli security cabinet, very central ministers, not of the Likud party, about Gaza, in that sense, about the people in Gaza and the Palestinians in Gaza. So you have the one side of the hostages. I'm looking at it through those eyes. The other side is to destroy Hamas. But the third thing is two different ministers talking about, you know, establishing an Israeli Jewish presence inside Gaza after, and I find that more disturbing. Can we get the hostages back? Can we not talk about establishing a Jewish community, an Israeli community in the Gaza Strip? To me, that's worse than they're not talking specifically about the hostages.
It's really difficult to discern what in fact is going on, because I still can't understand whether, you know, this is an attempt for a total victory or a ploy to get a better deal. I don't understand the nuance here. What's your view?
There's no question that neither one of us, I'm going to hope, Simon, are terrorists. And most countries in the world do not deal or negotiate with terrorists at all. And Israel does. And I say that up front because when you're dealing with a terrorist, when you're talking to a terror organization, that what's written in their charter, what they did on October 7th, is they want to destroy you. It doesn't exactly put together any kind of a recipe to be able to do a deal. And I say that because we need to understand the limitations. Even if they do the deal, it's because they want to achieve something for them. They hold the hostages as strategic assets. So the nitty-gritty of this is that if you don't pressure Hamas, they're not going to come to the table for a deal. And when you do pressure Hamas, they, Hamas, not Israel, are immediately going to threaten the lives of the hostages. That's like holding us on every side. That's the Sophie's choice that we're in. And I think right now that pressuring Hamas is a good thing. I don't think that they should define the rules of the game. But as I said before, I need the hostages back, and I need as many of them alive as back for the fabric of my society, which means that I would be willing to give more, even though it's Hamas and they're a terror organization and they deserve nothing, but I need to get back the hostages alive. And those are the choices that are there. The military pressure does have an impact.
See, what worries me so incredibly intensely with all this is that I see Hamas getting the victory picture. Just by surviving, if it's just one man crawling out of a hole, that picture is going to be the global picture that is going to be their success story. And I don't see what Israel could possibly do to stop that.
But that was true pretty much from the minute that they took 250 hostages. They took them as a strategic asset. The idea behind this was not a terror attack. This is a terror army campaign. It is an attrition terror war. These are terms that we did not have before. And the main aim is exactly what you just said. It is both to legitimize Hamas. It's to show them as the victors. It's to show this kind of modus operandi. Look, I, the terror organization, can attack, can assault, can do barbaric actions, can take hostages, can kill, murder. And at the end, I both still exist and the world is on my side. And that was something that was true, sadly, to me, it's almost worse, on October 8th, not just 2 years later. So I don't have the expectation of the world. This isn't about the world defining who's a victor and who not. Terror organizations who define themselves as resistance organizations, what they aim is to resist and exist. And I'm inside a democracy as blemished and pimpled as we can want, but a democracy where we have not just, you know, that free and open and protest and different voices, so that what people show right now is, look, Israelis are protesting in the war. And I'm like, some Israelis are protesting and other Israelis are doing other things. And I know of no individuals in Israel who have refused to be drafted, who have refused to go to be in our military, because we know that we're fighting for our existence. But we have a lot of different limitations that you and I are going to embrace. And a terror organization not only can barbarically do what it does, use its own civilians as their collateral damage on the one hand and as their human shields on the other, and tout at the end that they, the terror organization, are the oppressed. So that's where we are. But until we finish this, the basic action of the hostages, we won't be able to face the broad aspects. And even then, it's not going to be easy, and it's an uphill battle. But yes, Hamas is going to say that they won, and I'm going to ignore that for the meantime, because I'm going to talk to any single person who thinks that Hamas is the good guy, and I'm going to have every single person look at themselves in the mirror when they say that. But that I can do the day after. I can't do it right now. I need the hostages back.
I'm looking at headlines. I've got the Times of Israel open in front of me right now, and the main headline this afternoon is the European Union proposed cutting trade ties with Israel, slapping sanctions on ministers over the Gaza war. That was today. Yesterday led with the conference that had happened in the Organization of Arab Unity, or whatever it was, following the Doha attacks. It seems like there is a coalition that has forged together, that is doing everything that it can to demoralize, to isolate, and to make things very difficult for Israel. Do Israelis care?
Israelis care. And Simon, the worst part is that, you know, it started in its own way, if I give it a starting point, in South Africa, because the Durban conference, 100%. Way there in the past, such a long time ago, was about isolating Israel as the only, in so many different ways. But it's really about using the different terminology that, you know, at the end, I sit here, Israelis care. We care about the fact that they're isolated. But what happens right now, when we're not immune to it, is because there's so no sympathy whatsoever, let alone empathy, for Israel, for the hostages, for what we're going through. It's as if everybody poo-poos that. I feel that everybody's only throwing darts at us, that Israelis are like, it doesn't matter what we do, we're the ones blamed. And that, by the way, is a very, very negative aspect for us. Because I don't care about their blaming, okay? I want us to take the actions that are the right actions for us, that are the right legal, moral actions. And it's not about what the world thinks about it. And I remind also that 50 years ago, United Nations putting out horrific types of things, and these days you said the EU, you talked about the other ones. 50 years ago at the United Nations, they passed a resolution that said that Zionism is racism, and that is a scar on the United Nations 50 years ago. And the decisions that they're making now are the same type of scars. And we lived through that one, and it doesn't make me happy. And it isn't easy to be Israeli in the world anywhere right now. But as we both know, it's been turned into Jews. So it's not just Israelis, it's Jews. It's not just Israelis and Jews, it's anybody who supports that. I'm going to hope that we get past that. But right now, yes, we care, but there's not a lot we can do about it specifically at the moment.
Last issue I want to raise with you this afternoon is the Benjamin Netanyahu Super Sparta comment that sent the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange into a quagmire yesterday. He then called a press conference last night to say it isn't exactly what he meant. And yet, as a South African, unfortunately, I have had experience living through this. I know what it's like when everybody turns against you. In our case, for very different reasons. I'm not comparing them. I'm comparing the net effect. And I'm wondering, my goodness me, do Israelis know what could be possibly coming their way in terms of visa travel and just issues that make life so incredibly difficult?
Oh, my God, Simon, my heart right now as I'm, you know, beating away. I think that they may be aware of it. I think that they're starting to see it much more. And because the first step in this case is Europe, we're not talking about the other ones. We're talking about Europe, you know, the places nearest to us right now. It's growing. There's an understanding. I want to be clear for all of us. I don't think it's there yet, but I'm looking at it right now. Understanding it is not the same as living it. So I breathe in deep, and I hope that at the end we will remember. Not just human beings and Jews and Zionists. And I'm a proud Zionist and I will continue to be so. I'm a proud Israeli and I am in a horrible war. And until this specifically the war against Hamas in the Gaza Strip, until the hostages are home, this war is not over. And in the meantime, I breathe in deep and let's get there. Let's get there. I don't want to live in Sparta or Super Sparta.
Exactly.
And that means that, okay, and we're going to see where it takes us. Absolutely. But I still think that we're strong and it's a new year. And with our Jewish New Year just next week, we deserve a good year. And I'm going to hope that we all have a happy, better year, 48 hostages home, end to the horrible war in the Gaza Strip so that we can all begin to heal and to re-find our place within this world.
Amen, amen, amen to that. Miri Eisen, thank you for talking to us as regularly as you do on Chai FM. Wishing you and your family and the whole nation of Israel a Shana Tova, Metuka, Veshketa. I really, really hope.
Shana Tova. Toda.